Matthew, Gospel of Matthew. He'll be the next apostle we look at, Matthew. We'll only have one lesson on him tonight, and half of our lesson won't be on Matthew. But Matthew chapter 9 and verse 9, really quite a, eventually, well, let me just read down to verse 12 here to begin with anyway. We'll come back to it. And as Jesus passed forth from thence, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the receipt of custom, and he saith unto him, Follow me. And he arose and followed him. And it came to pass, as Jesus sat at meat in the house, behold, many publicans and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto his disciples, Why eatest your master with publicans and sinners? But when Jesus heard that, he said unto them, They that behold need not a physician, but they that are sick. The receipt of custom, back earlier in the chapter there, refers to the toll booth in the street where tax collectors sat to receive various taxes. So Matthew was a tax collector. Now, one of the things that we have seen all along as we've looked at all the different apostles is that they come from the most ordinary and unrefined people that they were of that time. 11 of them were from Galilee. Judas Iscariot was one who was not from Galilee. Galilee was mostly a rural area that consisted of small towns and villages. They were not the elite of society. They were not known for great education. They were the commonest of the common. They were fishermen and they were farmers. That's what the people of Galilee were. This was also true of the disciples. They were the commonest of the common. Christ passed over the influential and he chose men mostly out of the dregs of society. Just common people. That's how God has worked. Matter of fact, that's how God's worked pretty much throughout time. You'll find every so often somebody, the great apostle Paul was extremely well educated, but he was very much anti-Christian before his conversion. Now, he was could speak seven languages, and you know we have studied before. He studied under Gamaliel, the wellest known of all the rabbis, or the most well-known of all the rabbis in Israel of that day. But generally speaking, God has used the common people. The Bible teaches us that he exalts the humble and he lays low those who are proud. Let me give you a few references. Psalm 8:2. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings thou hast ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger. Isaiah 26:5 and 6 says, For he bringeth down them that dwell on high, the lofty city, he layeth it low. He layeth it low even to the ground. He bringeth it even to the dust. The foot shall not tread it down, even the feet of the poor and the steps of the needy. Zephaniah 3:12 says, I will also leave thee in the midst of thee an afflicted and poor people, and they shall trust in the name of the Lord. They will be afflicted and they will be the poor. Ezekiel 21:26 says, Thus saith the Lord God, Remove thy diadem and take off thy crown. This shall not be the same. Exalt him that is low and abase him that is high. Those are the kind of people that God normally uses. Our Lord was not impressed with the religious elite of his day. They were blind leaders of the blind. Most members of the Jewish establishment in Jesus' day were so spiritually blinded that when the Messiah came and did all the miracles that he did before their eyes, they did not see him as the Messiah. They actually saw him as an intruder. They saw him as the enemy. And from his very first sermon, turn ahead to Luke chapter 4 for a moment. From his very first sermon, public sermon, they sought to kill him. Luke chapter 4 and verse 28. And all they that are in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with wrath, and rose up and thrust him out of the city, and led him to the brow of the hill whereon their city was built, that they might cast him down headlong. It was their goal from the Lord's very first public sermon, that they might kill him. Now in the end, it was the chief priests and the ruling council of Israel who led the crowd of the city of Jerusalem to crucify Jesus. The religious establishment hated him. So when our Lord chose the apostles, or sometimes we refer to them as his disciples, he did not look to this religious elite crowd. He looked away from the religious elite, actually, and chose simple men of faith and by human standards, common people. Now, the religious leaders did not deny the Lord's miracles. They could live with his miracles. What they could not live with was this. He called them sinners. And he came to call sinners to repent. And they could not live with that. They would not acknowledge themselves as sinners. That wasn't going to happen. They were too self-righteous. That was the religious elite. So when Jesus came preaching repentance and saying that they were sinners needing forgiveness and cleansing, they could not, and they would not tolerate that, and they hated Jesus because of that message. So when he chose his apostles, he chose lowly, ordinary men who were not reluctant to acknowledge their own sinfulness. And as we come to Matthew 9:9, and as we read about Matthew, Matthew the publican was most likely the most notorious sinner of all the 12. His Jewish name, recorded in Mark 2, is Levi. Luke called him that in Luke 5, and Matthew, when he lists the 12, also. He is the same Matthew, the publican, who is the author of the gospel. Yet as you read his gospel, he rarely speaks of himself. So in all honesty, we don't have a lot of detail about Matthew. What we do know is this. He was a humble, self-effacing man who kept himself in the background throughout his lengthy account of our Lord's life. In his gospel, he mentions his name only two times. One was when he was listing the apostles. He was a tax collector, a publican when Jesus called him. Now, I said he was probably the most notorious of all the sinners of the 12. Tax collectors were the most despised people in all of Israel. The Jewish society vilified them. They even saw them worse than the Roman soldiers. This is how a tax collector would work. They would buy a tax franchise from the Roman government or the Roman emperor, and they would extort money from the people of Israel to give to the Roman government. And at the same time, they would fill their pockets. Most were known as scoundrels. They would work like this. Okay, you have a tax of $8. In all reality, she only had a tax of $5. So they would send $5 to the Roman emperor, and they would take the $3, and they would put it in their pocket. One of the things was that the Roman government was okay with that. If you would get me my money, and you put a little bit in your pocket on the side, we're good with that. Just make sure I get my cut, so to speak. And so that's what the kind of lifestyle that Matthew came from, and he was pretty much known as a scoundrel. Matthew 9:9 records his call. And that call of Matthew, when you're reading along here, it just seems to come out of nowhere. It's like Jesus is walking along, he looks over, he sees this tax collector, and he calls him to come and follow me. Notice what he said there in verse 10. It came to pass as Jesus sat at meat in the house. Behold, many publicans and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. You know whose house that is? That's Matthew's house. So Matthew decides he's going to... Matthew was wealthy. I mean, he had money. He may not have got it by the very best of means, but he had money. And so he decided that he's going to throw this great big dinner. Look at Luke chapter 5. And Jesus is the honored guest. Levi made him a great feast. Verse 29 of Luke 5, Levi, that's Matthew. And Levi made him a great feast in his own house. And there was a great company of publicans and of others that sat down with them. But the scribes and Pharisees, that's not a shock, is it? Murmured against his disciples, saying, why do you eat and drink with publicans and sinners? And Jesus answering said unto them, they that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Now this reveals that this is a large banquet that Matthew himself held in his own house, and Jesus himself was the honored guest. Now it seems that he invited fellow tax collectors and other social outcasts to come on in and meet Jesus. That seems to be what Matthew's doing. Now as we have seen from the others, the first impulse that they have once they begin to follow Christ is to reach out to their closest friends and introduce them to Jesus Christ. When I got saved, the first thing I wanted to do was to see my family saved. So I immediately began to witness to my family. And I was like heartbroken that they wouldn't even trust Christ as their Savior. Say, I have one brother who's saved and one brother not. I have one sister who's saved and, five other sisters who are not. So that's it. And I was like, I remember witnessing to my mom. and just, you know, she's right in tears. And then I would say, this is what the Bible would say. And then she would just simply stop me and say she didn't care what the Bible said. She cared what the church said. And that if you're raised in Catholicism, that's the way that that is. And so it was heartbreaking. But why did Matthew invite these guys? That's all he knew. These were the kind of people that he hung out with. To be honest, nobody else really would associate with him. He comes from a group of people or a class of people that we don't want to have anything to do with, especially the Jewish people. Matthew was a Jew, and then he was working for the Roman government. That made him like, you know, stay away from this guy. He's a traitor. And they couldn't stand him. Look at Matthew chapter 21 and verse 32. For John came unto you in the way of righteousness, and ye believed him not. But the publicans and the harlots believed him, and ye, when ye had seen it, repented not afterward that ye might believe him. It is most likely that Matthew had harlots, tax collectors, the outcasts of the society at his house for this nice banquet, and Jesus was there, and he brought them there to meet Jesus. And, I think I mentioned this, he was Jewish, considered a traitor to the nation. He would not have even been allowed in the synagogue, even though he was a Jew. So his friends were the riffraff of society. Petty criminals, what do we call them, hoodlums, prostitutes. And he took those people and he had a feast. I think it's awesome. And he invited them all to Jesus. And Jesus, now listen, and Jesus and the apostles, according to Matthew's account, you know what they did? They went and ate with them. They didn't say, oh, no, we can't eat with those tax collectors. I'm thinking that's the first account that fits very well that they all could have been Baptists. They don't refuse a meal. You know, it doesn't matter who invites them, they'll take that meal. So they go in and they sat down with these prostitutes, these tax collectors, these outcasts of society, and they go in there and they eat with them. Now, this really upset the religious people of the day. And it did not take the Pharisees long to criticize. Verse 30 said, but their scribes and Pharisees murmured against his disciples, saying, it didn't take long. I mean, they were criticizing already. And Jesus turned and answered them, they that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Jesus came to call sinners to repentance. Repentance has fallen on hard times today. There's an awful, seems to be anyway, maybe it's not as bad as I think, but it seems to be a bunch of group of people out there who teach that repentance is unnecessary and that you can live anyway. You can, you know, the Lord accepts you just the way you are. But he doesn't expect you to stay just the way you are. And so Paul preached repentance towards God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Repentance is part of salvation. There was nothing that the Lord could do for the religious elite as long as they insisted on keeping up their pious, self-righteous attitude. But people like Matthew were prepared to confess their sin and could not... you know, they couldn't help but see it. They couldn't help but see it. And they could be forgiven and redeemed. There are three tax collectors mentioned in the Gospels. And all three of them found forgiveness. You all know who's the most famous? Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus found forgiveness in Luke chapter 19. Matthew here and the publican in the parable, most people call it a parable, in Luke chapter 18, I'm not convinced it's the parable. I think it very well could be real. Look at Luke chapter 15 and verse 1. Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And then Luke chapter 7 adds this, verse 29. And all the people that heard him and the publicans justified God, being baptized with the baptism of John. Now Jesus said to the religious leaders, they that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. In Luke 18, notice that. This is the publican that some say is a parable. Luke 18 and verse 10. Two men went up to the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee, the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. Can you imagine somebody praying that? I mean, I fast twice in a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, look at this prayer. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Jesus said, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalts himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. I think it's an actual account. It does say in my Bible, the parable, but I'm not convinced it is. There were two kinds of tax collectors in Israel. And one of the kinds, I can't really say them, to be honest, they're Greek words. But one of them, Matthew, was of the kind that was that stood and manned a tax office. And he dealt with people face to face. He would have been one of the people that would have been resented the most. Some tax collectors, they were tax collectors, but they would hire other people to go out and collect their taxes. So they didn't have to deal with people face to face. But Matthew manned a tax station. Why Matthew chose that job, I have absolutely no idea. The only thing I can surmise is this, a love for money. There was a good amount of money to be made there. But when he took that job, he cut himself off from his own people. And actually, he even cut himself off from the synagogue and what he would have known about God. He'd not be able to go there because he would be forbidden to sacrifice and worship in the temple. And then Jesus comes along in Matthew chapter 9:9, and let me look back there again. Let me find get there. And when you think about this guy and the kind of person that he was and the people that he hung out with, and Jesus passed forth from thence, he saw a man named Matthew sitting in the receipt of the custom, and he saith unto him, follow me. I mean, I can tell you what I wrote in my notes next to that. Matthew 9:9, and then I wrote the word, wow. Jesus simply calls this outcast of society and says, follow me, Matthew. And he followed him. And he left the tax office. Now, let me say this about him. He did know the Old Testament in spite of his job. In spite of the fact that he would not be allowed to go into the temple, he still knew the Old Testament. His gospel quotes Old Testament scriptures 90 times. Evidently, he turned to the study of the Word of God himself to meet his spiritual hunger. His money wasn't meeting his need, filling that void. The Word of God was what he was turning to. He also knew of Jesus. I would imagine if you were in that area, everybody would have known of Jesus. What we do know of them is this then. He knew the Old Testament. He did believe God. He looked for the Messiah. The Messiah found him when Jesus walked by and dropped everything immediately and followed Christ. And then he found his outcast friends and introduced all of them to Jesus. He was a man of humility. He was quiet. You don't really read a lot about Matthew, really. He loved the outcasts, and he gave no place to religious hypocrisy. He simply loved the sinners and the publicans and the harlots. He was a man of faith, and evidently, he was a man of complete surrender. When he left that job, he couldn't go back to that job. Someone would have grabbed that right up, and he's already been an outcast. He tells us, What does his life tell us? The Lord chooses the most despicable people sometimes in the world. He redeems them, he gives them a new heart, and he uses them in remarkable ways. Matthew is a wonderful example of that. Well, Father, it would do us all well, probably, to catch a little bit of the vision that Matthew had. He wouldn't be somebody that we'd probably say, hey, let's have Matthew and all of his friends over for supper tonight. Some people would even be leery to have him and his friends over. Nonetheless, you called him. You saved him, you redeemed him, and you chose to use him as one of the apostles in the founding of the church. He doesn't say a lot about himself. He's humble. In fact, there's not a whole lot really written about him anywhere in the New Testament. History says that he was martyred. We're not sure how. But we thank you that you use men like him. And may we be courageous enough to go to people that may be considered outcasts and to love them and point them to Jesus. You changed this man's life incredibly. And you could take anybody from any walk in life and use them for your honor and use them for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.